Big trades going down in the NBA and big rumors. What this all means for the Boston Celtics. On this Tuesday Locked On Celtics, Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, John Corrales here from MassLive.com. Welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for downloading the show. If you're new, welcome aboard. Hope you enjoyed the show. Hope you enjoyed it enough by the end to hit that subscribe button and get this directly to your device on a regular basis. Regular listeners, you know I love you. I love the fact that you keep coming back and you're doing this on the daily. It's a Monday through Friday podcast, so I always appreciate people who listen more than once a week, twice a week, five times a week. I'm here five times a week, so I hope you're listening that much. All right, I'm in complete shock. I am absolute complete shock. I don't know what to make of this. Actually, I do kind of know what to make of this, but Drew Holiday was traded from the New Orleans Pelicans to the Milwaukee Bucks. In return, New Orleans got Eric Bledsoe. They got George Hill, and they got five first-round draft picks. Five. Three outright and two pick swaps. What? What? Oh, my God. Like, really? So there's that. There's later on, I'll talk about the James Harden rumors. Maybe later I'll lighten it up by getting to the City Edition jerseys that seem to have leaked. But right now, it's all about this trade and the potential rumors and what's going on out there for in terms of the Celtics. So what we have here is Milwaukee making a move for a player that they feel like is going to obviously help them win. They didn't give up much as far as players go. Bledsoe, the mistake was keeping Bledsoe over Malcolm Brogdon. That was the mistake. But okay, so they kept him. Didn't work out. They got rid of him. George Hill, okay, that's fine. You get George Hill out, whatever. Drew Holiday's in, you can get a minimum guy to kind of back him up. This is great for Milwaukee as far as players go. But they are giving up three first rounders, and I still don't know what the protections are, because I'm recording this at obviously late, like quarter past midnight. And usually I would record a little bit earlier. I'm very glad that I waited, because this is all just happening so fast. And so I don't know exactly what the picks are. I don't know what the pick swap details are. But I'm sure there's going to be some level of protection that may not matter. Maybe Milwaukee's going to protect itself a little bit in case Giannis leaves and in case Holiday, who is on an expiring contract, also decides to leave. They're going to have to protect themselves a little bit. But they're still going to be giving up those three first-round picks somehow. And even if they kick the can down the road and do, you know, a lot of these deals are, well, this is a top 10 protected here and top 8 protected there and then unprotected the year after. It was like the Celtics with the Memphis pick. So whatever they are. And there's two pick swaps in there that the Pelicans might be able to do. And maybe those don't ever convey. Maybe those don't happen because the Pelicans are also good and whatever. Who knows? Who knows? I have no clue. But it's a lot. It's a lot of draft capital to give up. So first of all, the Boston Celtics were rumored to be in here for Drew Holiday. They were never, ever, 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 ever going to give up this much in a draft situation for Holiday. They might say, hey, if you want to get James Harden, you might say, okay, well, we'll consider that. But also, for the Celtics to match salaries in these trades, they have the opposite of what these other teams have. They have players that are good that make a little bit of money. Their types of deals are going to be player heavy, not pick heavy. It's kind of like if you want to make a deal with the Boston Celtics, you're going to get players in return. The good young players that are in return. And if you're going to give up somebody like Jaylen Brown, you're going to get somebody better than Jrue Holiday. If you give up somebody like Jaylen Brown, you better be getting a top five player. And Jrue Holiday is just not a top five player. What Jrue Holiday is the type of player that is available, that's good, that is obviously a two-way guy. He is a fairly recent all-defense selection. He's a good scorer. He's a good distributor. He's just a really good player. Okay? Potential all-star player for the Milwaukee Bucks, who already have Giannis, who already have Chris Middleton, who have some decent pieces around them. Now, you have to believe that Giannis is close to signing the Supermax deal. Does Milwaukee do this deal without thinking Giannis is going to stick around? Do they just randomly go out and say, okay, I hope this is enough. Giannis, what do you think? Or do they say to Giannis, hey, here's what we're planning. Here's our plan. If you're going to sign this deal, if you're going to sign this Supermax extension, we'll go get Jrue Holiday. We'll get you the point guard that can distribute, that can play some defense in front of you. Milwaukee was already a great defensive team. This makes them a better defensive team, I think. Although Bledsoe was a good defender, but this still, I think, at the very least, keeps them at that level. It improves them offensively. And Giannis creating this space, it enhances the type of player that these guys are. So Giannis has to be sitting around saying, like, all right, this is the guy who is available. Now, could it have been James Harden? Could they have gotten this and gone to Houston and given it up for James Harden? First of all, probably not, because they had to match salaries. And I didn't pull up the Bucks salary structure, but this was doable for Jrue Holiday because he makes $20 million. It's not like James Harden makes over $40 million. So the structure of that deal has to be different. But this is the guy that they could get. Very good player. With the salaries that they gave up, you're not giving up really critical players on your team. You're mortgaging the future, but you're betting that Giannis signs this Supermax extension. You're betting that Holiday is going to re-sign and stick around for a potential winner. You're betting that him alongside those two guys will enhance what Chris Middleton can do. They all kind of enhance each other's abilities. That maybe Jrue Holiday can be a better shooter with a little bit more space. I mean, if Giannis signs a Supermax extension, then you say, oh, you know, hey, this is worth it. This has got to be worth it. And now from the Boston Celtics perspective, you say, well, now you're looking at the landscape, and now Milwaukee gets better, or at least stays about as good, and they were the best team in the East last year. And I know that they lost to the Miami Heat, but also under weird circumstances. And yes, the Miami Heat were very well constructed to beat the Milwaukee Bucks, but under normal circumstances, which they weren't, home, road, travel, crowds, I think it's a little bit different. I don't know that some of these Heat players handle it the exact same way. Maybe it goes a little bit differently. I don't know. It doesn't even matter. The point is that Milwaukee was already very good. Jrue Holiday makes them better. And now the Celtics are looking at Milwaukee getting better, Brooklyn getting better, Philly getting better, and as far as better coach, better front office, What are they going to pull off? So this is a move that takes away a potential trade target for the Boston Celtics because they were interested in Jrue Holiday. I don't know how seriously they were interested in Jrue Holiday, how far down the line that kind of stuff got, but Holiday, gone. That's one potential target gone to a competitor. And that could be the move that solidifies that Giannis is going to stick around for the long haul. So you don't even have the possibility of Giannis leaving and maybe the Celtics ascending around that same time. This is not great news for the Boston Celtics. One trade partner, whether you're giving up Gordon Hayward or somebody else, however seriously they were considering it, that's one option that's off the board. Now you got to move on to a different plan. A competitor gets better. Another competitor wants to get better. Who's that going to be? Brooklyn. Can they get James Harden? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. I want to remind you that the draft, by the time you listen to this, the draft is tomorrow, Wednesday. So the Locked On Podcast Network is going to have live draft coverage this year. It's going to be on YouTube, Facebook, Twitch, Locked On Live. So streaming on all of these outlets, pick the outlet. Live draft coverage. It's the only place you can find Chad Ford. He's the GOAT of draft analysis. So Chad Ford will be on the Locked On Live broadcast. It's going to be live on the night of the draft with Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks, David Locke, founder of the network. It's going to be the most in-depth coverage of the NBA draft, featuring analysis from Jeremy Wu of Sports Illustrated. So go ahead and follow Locked On Live on Twitter, Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch, and get alerts as soon as the show goes live. Tomorrow is going to be a very busy day. I'm probably going to be up from whenever I wake up till 3-4 in the morning, considering everything that's going to happen with the Boston Celtics. Either they're going to make three picks, or they're going to trade them, or Gordon Hayward's going to go. Who knows what? I'm going to have about 5 or 6 walls I'm going to have to break through tomorrow. And Built Go is going to help me get through that wall. It's a healthy replacement for an energy drink. The energy is not fake. It is lasting. It is natural. So whether you have a mental wall, a physical wall, or like me, tomorrow, both, you can break through it with Built Go every day. The packages are very convenient. They're about 1.5 ounces. So you can stick them in a gym bag. You can stick them in a briefcase, a purse, whatever you carry around. Put it in your pocket. It's going to help you get through the day. It's a workout gel. It's like a 5-hour energy without that same crash. It's better for your body because it's natural. You've got peanut butter honey, chocolate coconut, and chocolate mint. They're all those flavors combining with the energy gel combines with the collagen protein. So it absorbs very quickly into my system. It's easy on my stomach. It's loaded with beta-alanine, B3, honey, and a kick of caffeine. That's going to ignite my day. Also, B6, B12 vitamins, and collagen promotes joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, so it actually makes you look better. So go ahead and go to builtgo.com, use the promo code LOCKED. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Have you subscribed to the Locked On Celtics podcast yet? You can wherever podcasts exist, and you can follow us on Spotify. I wonder what the look was on Sean Marks' face when he saw the deal go down between Milwaukee and New Orleans. I mean, was it a spit take? Was it the eyes popping out of the head like a cartoon? Sean Marks is the general manager of the Brooklyn Nets. And the Brooklyn Nets are rumored to be the really only preferred destination of one James Harden of the Houston Rockets. We talked about this a little bit yesterday. I'm not going to rehash. I don't think a lot of that stuff. But I want to point out that as the Celtics survey this landscape and the Brooklyn Nets are trying to get better, as well you know, to keep up with Milwaukee and the suddenly extraordinarily competitive top of the Eastern Conference. Brooklyn wants to acquire a third star. James Harden is looking at Houston, who, by the way, traded Robert Covington to Portland. They got Trevor Ariza back and a couple of picks. So Houston's clearly starting their fire sale. Okay, the Covington for Ariza move. I mean, Ariza is supposedly good friends with James Harden. Maybe they just wanted to get one of his friends back. I don't know if that's really the reason. It seems like the real reason is Covington's a useful player. Portland needs a useful player. And here's what they're going to give up to do that. Another team that was sort of desperate because Portland is in a situation where they want to make some noise. They want to be able, no one's talking about the Damian Lillard thing. He's obviously under a big contract and all of that stuff. But like at some point, he's going to have to look out for himself. And if he says quietly, look, start shopping me around. I can't do this anymore. They need to get him help. And this is going to be some of the help that they get him. Is that enough? I don't think so. Not in the West. But anyway, I digress. Houston's starting their little sale there. So Westbrook's going to be next somehow. And Harden might be in line to move. And sure, Houston, like, if it's all going to go away and you got to rebuild, then they just do it. Just trade Westbrook for whatever you can get. It's not a great situation there. I don't know who's going to want to take that money, but see what you can get. Harden, you can get a lot for. There's no way that the Houston Rockets could look at the haul. Chris Paul got traded. That got them back at least a first-round pick and a couple of players that can be flipped. You look back to the Paul George trade. You look back to the Westbrook trade to Houston. You're looking at all of these trades that net a ton of draft picks and pick swaps. This is like Houston can wait. They are going to be looking for a deal like this. So James Harden saying, well, yeah, trade me only to Brooklyn. It doesn't have that same kind of leverage killing thing that when Chris Paul was originally traded from the Rockets to, from the Clippers to the Rockets, and he said, you're trading me to Houston because he's a free agent. I'm going to opt in, and this is what you're going to do. And basically dictating the terms because he had leverage. James Harden is under contract for two more years, and he's got a $47 million player option for the third year, which I'm pretty sure he's going to opt into. So he's under contract for basically three more years. The Brooklyn Nets don't have cap space. They can't just go out and sign a star. They're not going to be players next year in the big free agent free-for-all. That's not going to happen. So if they want James Harden, they're going to have to play the game. They're going to have to pay up whatever Houston wants. And so let's look at this whole net effect here. So Houston should absolutely hold off on moving Harden until they get a deal that they find is palatable. He's got to play. He can't not play. He's got to go out there and play hard, and he's going to want to go get his stats. So he's going to go play. Milwaukee is now shored up, and if Milwaukee is going to be the guy that Milwaukee's going to be the team now that takes one of these big stars off the table next year, if Giannis Antetokounmpo is going to re-sign with Milwaukee, does James Harden now become the big prize? And teams like Miami, who have been setting themselves up for a big free agent 2021 situation with all of these big free agents that might be coming onto the market. They've been looking at Giannis. Everybody's been looking at Giannis. If he signs his Supermax and he's off the table, what do they do? Do they pivot? Do they wait and see if Kawhi's going to opt out? Or do they pivot and see if one of these other players is going to opt out? Do they go for James Harden? Do they start making a trade? And we'll take it a step further beyond that. If suddenly these stars get picked off and these teams that have been waiting for big names to become free agents next year all of a sudden see these big names, Kawhi's going to stick around, Paul George is going to stick around, Harden is going, you know, he was never an option there, but like pursuing Harden in lieu of going after one of these guys, maybe trying to trade for him into your cap space. If that happens with one of these teams and Giannis is off the market, well, what does Gordon Hayward do? Gordon Hayward, I think this is just shaping up to Gordon Hayward opts in. Because, first of all, they're spreading out the escrow over the course of a couple years. So that discussion I was having with Ryan Bernardoni a few weeks ago, that changes because they're not taking 40% of his money. They're taking, what, up to 20 maybe over the next couple of years? Like, that's, if you're spreading it out over a couple of years, just opt in. Opt in now and deal with it. If they wait on Harden in Houston, then Brooklyn has to look around. Brooklyn doesn't get better. Brooklyn doesn't have a big three. Boston still is a player here. If the market gets better for Gordon Hayward next year, you're still not guaranteed that he's going to come back. He opts in. Then suddenly we take another step into Gordon Hayward should probably be traded. We're going to find out Tuesday by 5 o'clock if Hayward opts in, because that's the deadline. Whatever deadlines were out there before, it's wrong. It's Tuesday at 5 o'clock. So we're going to figure out pretty quickly if Gordon Hayward opts in. If he opts out, then we're looking at, I don't know, was he's going to be a re-sign or what? But if he opts in and there's uncertainty and the market suddenly changes, if Giannis is off the market, if that shifts, then Danny Ainge, his hand is almost forced. It was like I was saying yesterday, each day now we get a little bit closer to, I'm starting to see his hand, Danny Ainge's hand, being forced here. I'm going to take a break. I'll come back, flesh out this Gordon Hayward stuff a little bit more. Stick around for more Locked On Celtics.
Be sure to follow our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
So as I'm kind of taking one cursory stroll through Twitter before finishing the show, Kevin O'Connor tweets out that the Bucks will pursue a sign and trade for Bogdan Bogdanovic from the Kings, which would certainly help out and add another key piece to the team and make the Milwaukee Bucks even more dangerous. So the Bucks able to get Jrue Holiday for not much as far as players go. They give up a bunch of draft picks. Now they have players that maybe they could use to flip for Bogdanovic, and now you've got the making of a much more dangerous team around the Milwaukee Bucks, and then you can start signing a mid-level guy and veteran minimum guys and fill out your roster that way. Bucks, not fooling around, man. Not fooling around. So
if they do that, if you see the Bucks getting Bogdanovich, then it's a lock that Giannis is going to stay. To me, it's you can't. They are not doing these moves just to like present it to Giannis on a plate with a bow and say, "Is this good enough for you, sir?" Like they know. So, what can the Celtics get for Gordon Hayward? Are we back to the Indiana deal? Are we back to a three-team situation? Because I'm wondering, is something else going to open up? Is someone else who's going to sit there and say, well, we missed out on Drew Holiday because Denver wanted Drew Holiday. Do the Denver Nuggets have what the Celtics need? I'm just spitballing here. Do the Denver Nuggets have what the Celtics need for Gordon Hayward? If they were going to be in the mix for Holiday at 20-plus million, do they have something that could appeal to the Celtics? Well, probably not, as I look at there. But no, you can easily package Gary Harris, who makes $17.8 million. Again, I'm not saying that this is going to be how it goes. I mean, Jeremy Grant's going to opt out. They could probably throw a deal together if they wanted to. The question is, do they want to? Does Gordon Hayward move the needle for them? Does Gordon Hayward want to go there? Do they think... See, Gordon Hayward's situation is so different because he's going to be a free agent. If he opts in and then says, you know, if people say, well, you know, we know he wants to go to Indiana and the Indiana Pacers want him, what are these other teams going to give up? Do the Indiana Pacers just make the deal with the Celtics now for Gordon Hayward? Do they just pull that trigger? I don't know. We're going to find out, like I said, by 5 o'clock if Hayward is going to be opting in or not. If he opts out and signs long-term, then I still think that's the best thing for the Celtics. Because you're still not going to get everything from two players that you're going to get from Hayward alone. He's still a very good player. You know, when Mark Murphy in the Herald wrote about Gordon Hayward today, or Tuesday, Monday, Jesus Christ. I'm leaving that in, by the way. He said a lot of teams want Gordon Hayward because Gordon Hayward's a good basketball player. I know some of you are thinking like, oh, no, he's not. But you know what? Yeah, he is. And a lot of teams would want him. And if he's not hurt, which he suffered some freak accidents in Boston, if his luck changes at all, then he's going to be a good basketball player. So I still say keeping him opt out, re-sign is the best option for him. Maybe there's a third option. Maybe he opts out and re-signs for short term. Maybe he does a 2-year thing. I don't know. Does that make sense? I'm just spitballing. The way this stuff is moving, the pace at which these off-season moves are happening, changes the dynamic for Gordon Hayward a lot. So the end of this all just basically summed up is Milwaukee got better and they're still trying to get even better, which raises the roadblock in front of the Boston Celtics. The Brooklyn Nets are trying to get James Harden, but they shouldn't be getting James Harden now unless they really pony up a lot. They certainly could, and they sure see the the leverage situation that they have none. Harden has none. So they can just be like, you know what? Let's do it. Take a Philly out of the mix. Philly's sitting there. They haven't done anything yet. What's Philly going to do? You think Morey just showed up there to do nothing? So I'm sure Philly's like, no, no, no. You don't want to deal with Brooklyn. You want to deal with us. What if Philly gets into the Harden mix? I mean, that's not out of the question. Not out of the question. So Boston, again, sitting here waiting on these teams, looking at these teams and saying, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? There's a lot of pressure on Danny Ainge, I think, to get this right. And I still wonder if these guys look back on this last run and not getting past Miami, even though they had big leads throughout that series. They sit there and say, wow, man, we had a chance to get to the NBA Finals and we blew it. And now here goes Milwaukee. Here goes Brooklyn. Here goes Philly. It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard for this team. They're not going to be a one seed. Are they going to be a two seed? Maybe not. They're going to be a three seed? Philly is such a wild card. They could be the best team in the East, or they could be like the seventh seed again. Who knows? But Celtics sitting here with assets, three draft picks, Gordon Hayward. What do they do? What is the market? What opens up? What does the removal of Jrue Holiday from this mix mean? And there is no answer to this publicly. What does the potential signing of a Supermax by Giannis mean for the Celtics? Does that mean people are going to turn to them and say, yeah, okay, we'll give you a little extra for Gordon Hayward right now? And do the Celtics want to make another team better? What are they going to do? They're going to make another team better in the East. So the Celtics drop to 4 and they're in a 4-5 series with Indy, and Gordon Hayward is healthy and he, you know, has a huge series. I mean, hard to say what, you know, you got to take the best deal you can get. And if that's in the conference, I suppose you got to take it. So many moving parts. And while I'm glad I waited until past midnight to record this podcast, hopefully by the time you listen to it, it's not blown out of the water by into the next thing. So I will be here to give you my analysis, try to get some guests on, and hopefully I'll be able to make sense of it as it happens. So I hope you enjoyed the show and you subscribe. If you have not decided to subscribe, try again tomorrow. Let's see if maybe tomorrow's will be a little bit better. I'm here 5 days a week. You get a lot of chances. Come back, check it out. There are a lot of regular listeners, a lot of people making this part of their daily routine. So I hope you make it part of yours. All of you who have, thank you. Really appreciate it. I love the 5-star ratings. I love the good written reviews. They really help me out a lot. So I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow is draft day. So I'm going to be here with a very late post-draft workout, unless something happens like crazy in the middle of the day and Gordon Hayward gets traded. Maybe I'll do like a quick reaction podcast or something, a bonus. We'll see. So stick around. I'll be back here on the Locked On Celtics podcast. We're part of the Locked On Podcast Network.